Hello and welcome to The Black Spectrum, the place where our black and brown communities talk about openly and sometimes anonymously mental health and parenting issues. I am your host, Diane Laidlaw, and I just wanted to welcome you to our first episode of The Black Spectrum. I've never podcasted before, so this is all new, and the format of things, they may change, so just be wary. But we're here now, and welcome. So this is the first episode, and I'm mainly going to be talking about myself and my journey in this episode. But in the other ones, I'm definitely going to be talking to other professors. I'm definitely going to be talking to other professionals, other parents, and even some kids, if we can get them on here, to talk about how mental health has been, what's the right word to use, has been affecting them in their lives, shall we say? So today is the 11th of October 2020, and it's the day after Mental Health Awareness Day. And actually, yesterday was the day that I decided that I wanted to make this podcast. After having a discussion in a woman's Facebook group, it's a parents' Facebook group, shall I say, a black mother's Facebook group, to be more precise. And in that group, I made a post talking about us as parents being very watchful of our own children's mental health and to not always put it down to bad behaviour. I don't really know what spurred me to write this, to be honest. I literally just woke up in the morning and decided to write it. And I got quite a few responses on there that made me decide that actually I need a platform where these parents' voices could be heard, and that's how the Black Spectrum, sorry, can't even say the name right. Well, it's only been a day, I'm still learning. But yeah, the Black Spectrum came around. So I ended up talking to a few of these parents privately in a group, and as we shared our own experiences to each other, it became really apparent that this was something that was needed. Even amongst us, when we was talking, there were things that we was learning and understanding and was able to share information. So the Black Spectrum really is about that. It's about sharing of information, which sometimes we find it very difficult to talk to each other about, even to our own spouses. And this podcast is really an avenue or a platform for those people to come on board and to talk in a way that is non-judgmental. We will be talking about a whole bunch of issues, from parenting to how the schools have acted with us, how we have dealt with it ourselves mentally, how we cope mentally, the legal system, what happens when they go to university, what happens when they're in primary, the signs to look out perhaps for, all different types of things we're going to be talking about on this podcast. And I'm really, really, really excited, to be fair, as you can tell, because I literally just had the idea yesterday and already I'm on here. I'm too fast, basically. So just to give you a little bit more of a background about me, my name is Diane and I have a 10-year-old who has ADHD, and we're currently in a process of getting him tested for autism as well. Now, for me, my journey has been quite easy compared to some, but I never took that for granted. I never thought to myself, you know, well, this is how it is across the board, because I knew that other people were not getting the help that I was getting. But I never really knew how deep the rabbit hole got to until I started speaking to other parents really about their own experiences. For me, when my son went into school, literally the first week of him starting primary school, the school picked up that he wasn't running properly. And this went on for a while. It went on for about a year or so, where they were like, he's running quite differently. And, you know, maybe he needs some occupational health to, you know, help him run better. And I just thought, you guys are just taking a mick. Do you know what I mean? I know my son. And this is just how Ethan runs. to my own ignorance. Little did I know that there was this thing called dyspraxia, and my son was displaying clear conditions of dyspraxia. He had a lot of difficulties with simple things like putting on his shoes or putting on his trousers the right way. Just really, really small things that I just thought, well, he just hasn't catched up yet. Turns out he didn't really fully catch up, because even now as a 10-year-old, he still has difficulty doing putting on his school clothes. But that was just the beginning of a journey where it became a process of the school kind of looking at him and saying to me, I think there's a problem here, and me and his father saying, I don't think so. It took us about 3 years. So by the time he got into year four was when he had a male teacher, and all the other teachers that my son had beforehand were all female. So he had a male teacher, and there was an introduction day that he had with this male teacher. And this male teacher, I just knew from the moment my son had him that we were going to connect, because the way that he had talked about my son and described him, I felt that there was just something really special about this teacher. During the year of my son being in that class, this teacher had managed to find all different ways to kind of help with my son's behaviour. So in school generally, my son does very, very well. He's probably one of the smartest in his class. He knew how to read before he got to school. He knew all his numbers, all his shapes, he knew colours, which I didn't know. Like, I didn't know what a rhombus was until, you know, Ethan told me one day. And I didn't quite understand what teal was, or whether that was green or a blue. You know, I just know the colours of the rainbow, really. Even though I'm a web designer, I'm still like, what colour is that? He's like, teal, mum, or it's coral. I'm like, coral? That's orange. Anyway. So things like that he knew very early on, but what he was struggling with in school was his temper. So if he got something wrong, he would bang the table, and it was just these really sudden outbursts of anger, which was really worrying for me, because I didn't really know how to control that. I'm not an outwardly aggressive person, so for him to do that, I was quite, you know, astounded and quite shocked. But there was other things that he was doing. So he didn't like the sound of the air dryer in the toilets, or he didn't like the sound of the toilet being flushed, or just random different sounds and textures and stuff like that. If it was raining, he wouldn't open the car door. Just random little things that we look at and we think, oh, well, as me, as a parent that has only got one child, I just thought, oh, that's just my son. You know, I didn't think anything else of it. And I had this thought for a long while, until I trusted this male teacher, and he said to me, you know, Diane, I think we should see if we can get him tested for autism. And when he said that to me, it started to make a little bit more sense why there was these small kinds of sensory issues going on, and why he kind of liked being on his own most of the time. Even though he had friends and people liked him, he preferred being in the by the company of himself, or he preferred being with adults, you know. So a number of things started to come out at me, and I started to think, yeah, actually, let's see what we can get done in regards to getting him tested. So currently we're still waiting for him to be tested for autism, but when we went for our initial exam, where they do like a physical exam, we spoke to a woman at the hospital, and this was like a year and a half later now, so he was in year five at this stage. Was it a year and a half? Yeah, so he was in year five at this stage, and the woman at this hospital had said to me, during the time that we was there, she said, oh, I'm going to get him tested for autism, but I'm also think it might be worth getting him tested for ADHD. And I thought, ADHD? Like, usually when I think of children with ADHD, I think of those children that you just want to grips up in Sainsbury's and be like, stop running up and down. You know, you just want to shake the life out of them. That's what I think of, the ones who are just rampant and running all over the place. And you're like, what the hell? You know, that's what I thought ADHD was. I looked at my son and I thought, that can't be Ethan, because, you know, you literally just need to give my son a smoking jacket and a cigar, and he just needs a bottle of whiskey by the side of, like, he is so laid back. You know, I'm just missing a fireplace in here for him, you know. So for them to say he's got that, I was completely like, do you know what, let me just see how far this goes. So after that had happened, I came home with my son and I thought, let me just Google this ADHD thing properly, because that don't make no sense to me. So as I started Googling, as I do, and I came across this website, I read it and I was completely astounded by what I was reading, because not only did it re-educate me about what ADHD was, but I actually realized I had ADHD myself. And I mean, I'm going to go much more into all of that in another episode. I really want to keep it quite basic in this one. But after reading that and understanding it more, I was like, wow, this sounds exactly like me, and it sounds exactly like Ethan. And it took, after that initial meeting, it took at least another 9 months in order for him to get the assessment done for ADHD, and then he was finally diagnosed in January this year. And it's been, for the most part, it has been actually great. Why has it been great? Because it's allowed me to understand my son a lot better. It's allowed the house to be a lot more quieter, because I'm now not screaming and repeating myself a billion. I mean, I'm still repeating myself, but you pick your arguments now, because some things you're like, he's struggling with this, and some things you're like, actually no, you're just taking the piss, you know. And it becomes easier and easier to discern the longer it goes on, and the more you educate yourself about it. And the thing is, I think that the problem with sometimes having diagnoses is that people who are not that empathetic to people with mental health issues, and that sounds a bit odd, but it's way more common than you think. A lot of people say, yeah, I understand people with depression, but then the next minute they're like, why are they always in the bed all the time? Like, there is this, they don't fully understand. And I think that sometimes we tend to think that when someone gets a diagnosis, that we are now wiping them free of every single fault that they could ever do in their life, and it's just going to make them lazy. And actually, that's not what happens. When people get a diagnosis, it allows them, that label, a lot of people want to run away from labels, but that label allows you to understand what it is better. If we did not understand what a car was, or what traffic lights was, or what a train was, or what a fire was, or whatever, if we didn't understand these things, we would not be where we are now. We have labels because we need to understand what these things do. So when you say you don't want a label for your mental health, you're really just like playing with dice here. So it's important, I think, that you do find a label for your mental health, and at least try to understand what that label means. And if you feel that actually that label doesn't fit me, then maybe that's not the diagnosis that you have. But being afraid of labels is not benefiting anybody. It's a bit like being in a relationship, actually. If you don't have a label in your relationship, then you're free to do whatever you want. But if you're in a relationship and you know this is my partner, then there is a certain guideline or a certain set of expectations that happen because of that label that you've given. And it's the same with mental health. It's a certain level of expectation that you should expect from someone who's got ADHD or who's got autism. And you need to be open and willing to understand and willing to see the symptoms of it and try to find ways in which you can combat it. So with ADHD, it's not something you can heal. It's not something that there is a cure for. You're not going to find a special tablet and it all goes away, though medication is definitely something which works for a lot of people. And that's another conversation. Maybe we can have it in another episode where we talk about medication, the stigma attached to those things as well. But ultimately, having a label, understanding what the label is, looking and educating yourself about what that label stands for with ADHD and with autism, all it is just changes of things that you would need to do with your own behavior to help them with their behavior. One of them, I'll give you a few that I've learned with my own son with ADHD, is that he is a dopamine fiend. Gaming is his life. He absolutely loves it. And why? Because gaming is built really for people who have got ADHD. In fact, people with ADHD possibly invented a lot of these games. It's all about the dopamine rush and the reward system and all of that, and that's pretty much how the ADHD brain works. So gaming is a massive thing in a lot of people's lives. Anything to do with computers, a massive thing. Anything that gives you an instant reward, like notifications and typing and stuff like that on the screen where you can see the letters come up. Anything that gives you instant gratification is something that works for ADHDers. And, you know, so things like list taking and ticking off the list is also a great way or a great tip to help people with their concentration with ADHD. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to talk about, and I know that I'm going way above what I originally wanted to talk about here, but during this whole season of the Black Spectrum, you're going to learn a lot about all these different labels. And one thing I want to suggest is that don't be scared of them. Don't be scared of the labels. Don't be scared of what they stand for. Don't be scared of what your friends and family may think of you, because believe you're going to upset a few people who may not believe that you've got this or you've got that, or that you're depressed or anything like that, and that you just need to, you know, take a walk or whatever the case may be. So, you know, there are things that you're going to have to stand up for and against other people. And hopefully in this podcast, I'm going to give you the strength to do that. Fingers crossed, I'm going to give you the strength to do that. So that basically is it for this part of the podcast. In the next episode, I'm going to have a parent come and talk about their experiences and their journey. This is a relatively short podcast, so this particular episode is going to be quite short, but the other ones might be a little bit longer, between 20 to 30 minutes long, or 40 minutes depending on the content. So thank you for listening, and I really, really hope you subscribe. Make sure that you tell everyone about this, because it is so important within our community that we talk about these aspects, you know. And if you are a parent, or you are a social worker or a teacher or any of the other professionals, and you want to come on the podcast and talk, we're just going to have a nice relaxing talk about anything to do with mental health, anything to do with parenting and mental health, I'm here for it. So just send me an email at hello@theblackspectrum, black spelt blkspectrum.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will speak to you guys very, very soon.